It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, October 1st. I'm Noelle King in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson. The FCC is reportedly considering some new rules that would allow online video providers like Aereo to be treated more like standard TV operators. The end result could be an expansion of the definition of television to include the internet. Brian Fung is a technology reporter with The Washington Post. Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What is the FCC saying it may do?
Well, the FCC is considering talking about a set of proposed rules that would label some online video providers as effectively cable companies. And, you know, the FCC hasn't put a stamp on anything yet. But what we could see are, you know, companies like Aereo, which you may remember from earlier this summer. There was a big Supreme Court case about it.
Of course.
Being considered a cable company.
So the Supreme Court kind of dealt a death blow to Aereo in the summer, as you point out, because it said that what Aereo was doing was infringing on copyright law, letting its subscribers watch broadcast TV channels on their computers using Aereo's technology. Might this revive Aereo?
So Aereo's business model depended on the company avoiding what are called retransmission fees. These are the content licensing fees that most cable companies have to pay to television programmers in exchange for the right for carrying their content. What Aereo wanted to do was to stream that content over the internet without having to pay those hefty fees. Now, if the FCC decides to label companies like Aereo as cable providers, then one question is whether or not those companies would be subject to the same fees that cable companies currently pay to TV broadcasters.
And if the FCC moves ahead with this, is it likely to raise the hackles of traditional TV cable companies? Does this pose a threat to them?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it poses a threat to cable companies so much as it enshrines a system that cable companies tend to dislike because it forces them to pay over large amounts of money to TV programmers. And one of the reasons why the relationship between cable companies and broadcasters is sometimes contentious is because cable companies blame programmers and broadcasters for sharp increases in customers' cable bills.
All right. We will be keeping an eye on it. Brian Fung is a technology reporter for The Washington Post. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Thanks again.
Now a look at how technology can help us discover the past. If you were around during the 80s, you probably remember the Indiana Jones movies. The swashbuckling archaeologists traveled the world digging up ancient treasures. If you were to go looking for a real-life, present-day Indiana Jones, you might get someone like Michael Toth. He and his teams travel around the world using very modern technology, lasers and high-tech cameras, to unearth treasure. It's centuries-old writing that appears in very faint form on manuscripts called palimpsests. Along the way, they've discovered everything from lost languages to some very mysterious fingerprints. Mike Toth, thanks so much for being here.
Pleased to be here, Noah.
So, Mike, you're not discovering ancient manuscripts. You're working to read what's buried in them. Tell me a little bit about the work you do.
We work on a range of manuscripts. As you noted, the earliest copy of Archimedes' work, David Livingstone's diaries, and we use spectral imaging to reveal that text, which is not seen by the naked eye.
And explain, why isn't that text visible to the naked eye? We're talking about two different layers of writing here, right?
That is correct. It's usually on parchment, and they're written initially with an ink made out of the galls of oak trees. And that's been scraped off and overwritten. And in doing so, it's preserved that text underneath it.
And the process you use is something called spectral imaging. Tell me about that and what kind of technology is involved in that.
So we shine lights on the object to bring out that ink which responds best to, say, the ultraviolet in the case of iron gall, or a modern carbon black ink in the infrared.
Mike, you and I met in the Sinai Desert when you were working at St. Catherine's Monastery to look at some of the ancient manuscripts that have been held in the library there for over 1,000 years. Tell me a little bit about the work you've done at St. Catherine's and some of the things you found.
Some are historical texts. Some are medical or mathematical texts. We're still assessing what is underneath this rich trove and ultimately are going to make this available to the world.
Do you have a favorite moment of discovery?
Oh, yes. The work on Abraham Lincoln's draft of the Gettysburg Address. And as we were imaging it, at the bottom, on a blank part of the paper, the ultraviolet light came on, and there's a gem-like glow at the bottom. And we said, hey, we've got to look at this. And we saw a thumbprint, and then on the back, three fingerprints, as if someone was holding that paper, which is folded in third as if it's in a coat pocket, had held it up to read.
And is it Abraham Lincoln's fingerprints?
We don't know. We know there's enough of the whorls and loops to be able to assess the fingerprint. But, of course, there was no FBI fingerprint lab, much less West Virginia back then. So they are working with various forensics experts to try to assess that compared to other documents.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
A pleasure, Noel.
Mike Toth is the president of R.B. Toth Associates. We've got some great pictures and samples of his work at marketplacetech.org. I'm Noel King, and that's our show today. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.